wonderful while sleeping until the new year. That might seem like a strange thing to say, because at this time of year in Australia, of course, we associate Christmas with summer, with long days, with being on holiday. The truth is, we all know that it only takes 2 or 3 or 4 very good days in a row to knock the gloss off that romantic view of summer. And even if we're fortunate enough to have air conditioning in our homes, we know that after 3 or 4 days of really hot weather, seems to radiate off the walls and from the floor, the air conditioning notwithstanding, and it's uncomfortable, and we go to bed tired, and we wake up to it, and we become fractious and irritable, and small disagreements can flare into raging arguments. The hot weather is not good for human relationships. And it probably therefore should come as no surprise to you that emergency services workers dread this time of year as well. Not just because of the increase in alcohol and other related accidents, but because at this time of year, the incidences of domestic violence really spike. And when you add hot weather, when you add the fractiousness and the irritability that an extended spell of summer can bring, and when you add alcohol and other factors that are present at this time of year, you can see why emergency services workers do not like being rested from over the holiday period. This, of course, is a very different and very grim reality from the associations that we make with this time of year, because traditionally speaking, although I suspect that much of that tradition is in fact the creation of marketing executives, traditionally this is a time of year for the family, for getting together, for celebrating, for being on holiday and being relaxed. But we also know from experience, particularly at family events where we gather with people we pretty much don't see at any other time of the year, the old resentments and unburied hatchets of family history have a tendency to re-emerge. And again, when you add hot weather and alcohol to that mix, the results can be explosive, to say the least. There are two ways in which this time of year is problematic. One is isolation and separation and apartness, and the other is the reigniting of old family conflicts, of in fact being too close together for comfort. And all of that rubs against the idealized notion of family and of being together and of particularly this celebratory time of year. We're told by our culture, by our advertising, by our instincts that we should be celebrating and be happy
Thank you.
when Elizabeth flips it on its head. And Elizabeth does the praising. Not just the welcoming, but the praising. And that draws our attention to the reality about this relationship. We assume that because Mary and Elizabeth were cousins, that they knew each other well and had quite a bit to do with each other. But that's actually, there's no ground for that assumption. As I've already mentioned, Elizabeth was far older than Mary. She was from a different branch of the family, living in a different location. And because of the lack of communications and travel technology at the time, it meant that people who grew up in villages even a few miles apart often spent their entire life without any contact with each other. And so Mary and Elizabeth, they might have been sort of generally aware of each other's existence. But we don't need to suppose that they were intimately acquainted. In fact, they probably were virtual strangers to each other. Members of the same family. And yet there is an intimacy, a closeness, in their greeting to each other, in their response to one another. And Mary's response is not to reciprocate with praise for Elizabeth, but to sing the praise that you are praised to God. And in doing that, she's not being rude or discourteous or disrespectful. She is again, instead, overturning the conventions and assumptions of her time and society, and connecting the work of human relationships, the connection between herself and Elizabeth. She's connecting that to the work of God, to the work of the Holy Spirit, to God's presence in human life. The hymn of praise connects the extraordinary, unconventional, unexpected context of both Mary and Elizabeth. Neither of whom, strictly speaking, should be pregnant. She connects their circumstances to the work of God. The God who is faithful to covenant. The God who is faithful to promise. The God who raises the lonely and the outcast and overturns the expectations of the righteous and the powerful. This is the God who takes an unmarried young woman and an older married woman who's past conventional childbearing age and makes both of them the agents of God's grace in human life. And you don't get more radical, more subversive, more unconventional than that. This God who works through the anonymous, the lonely, the powerless. But this God who in doing that brings people together, draws virtual strangers together in the mutual recognition of the dignity and the fullness and the blessedness of their humanity. And this this is where the often unseen word of hope in today's reading resides. Because in the coming together of these two virtual strangers, something extraordinary happens. Something about the essential dignity of what it means to be human is affirmed. And that is an extraordinary word of hope when we contemplate the round of social and family engagements that perhaps in part or in some respects we look forward to with joy and expectation, and which in part perhaps many of us look forward to with foreboding and dread. And when we come up against all those unburied hatches, when we come up against all those fractured lines, all those fault lines of family history, when we encounter all those unredeemed hurts, we have the persons of Mary and Elizabeth who tell us that perhaps sometimes human relationships do get to the point where they are irretrievably broken. But that doesn't mean that we need forget the essential humanity in which we are all involved. And it doesn't mean that we need suffer an absence of grace, even in the most difficult of circumstances. And perhaps even it suggests to us that this Christmas, maybe we might try and reach out to someone in our lives who occupies that difficult, perilous position. A phone call, a letter, a postcard, an email, a Christmas card. It's not easy. It mightn't achieve anything. It won't even make the situation worse. But even in that difficulty, even in that hardship, there is that moment of grace of reaching out. Because in doing that, we replicate God reaching out to us. Reaching out to us through the unlikely people like Mary and Elizabeth. And so for all the difficulty and uncertainty of this season, there is hope. There is grace, and even in woundedness, there is the profound love of God for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.